This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
Y'all smoking the competition. Oh, come on, Tell me how that feel, baby. Oh,
stop it, Rick. Stop it.
Ricky Rose. I'm going to do my Ricky Rose.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Moment wasn't too big for Ole Miss or the remaining coaching staff. For the Dogs, Mike, the good news is, look, Kirby talked about how young this team was. They got a lot of guys coming back. Obviously, their quarterback is a big part of that. I am not fretting the fact that George will be right back in this position next year. I just feel like they will be. Schedule's going to be a little bit easier, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I thought they played one of the tougher schedules this year. And, you know, with all of that said, they had their chances in a loss 39-34. But I feel like everybody was waiting for Ole Miss to fold up because no Lane Kiffin. And that hasn't happened. And you said it. I don't know what happens this next week as far as the Miami game, but – you know what? These kids are playing with a lot of confidence, and we're talking with you guys about Georgia taking the L last night and not moving on to a chance at playing in the title game. 2 years in a row, by the way, Georgia's had this bye. Georgia's had this extra time, and, Mike, it hasn't played in their favor.
Yeah, and a lot of folks feeling this way that it just doesn't work. I mean, and how do you fix it? I know a lot of coaches have talked about it. I know that I think it was Dan Lanning was talking about it out of Oregon about, let's wrap it up so we finish on New Year's weekend, you know, or New Year's Monday, you know, of that weekend. And the idea that you'd have just continuous action. And the problem is, as we said, you know, people expect the NFL to go, oh, we'll just give you Saturdays. It's not going to happen. The NFL plays games on Saturday. And again, I got yelled at by somebody from the Falcons last year for insinuating the NFL was bullying college ball. But it goes back to the 70s. They've had, you know, that second or third week in December. They go to those Saturday games, and that's their window. So they're not going to change that. And look, they're Pac-Man. They gobble up everything. It's Christmas now, too. So that's not going to happen. That's why do you think we're playing these championship semis on Thursday and Friday?
That's right. Here's Dan Lanning. Mike was just mentioning this on how he would change the schedule.
Every playoff game should be played every single weekend until you finish the season. Ideally, the season, even if it means we start week zero or you eliminate a bye, the season ends January 1st. This should be the last game. It should be the championship game, and then the portal opens. Then coaches that have to move on to their next opportunities get the opportunity to move to their next opportunities.
He's right about this because for those who are not aware, today the portal is open. This is why Mike was mentioning this Ole Miss situation with the coaches needing to be at LSU to basically get the kids there trying to get to LSU. Meanwhile, they're still trying to coach the kids at Ole Miss.
It's insane.
The schedule is jacked. Right. And Dan Lanning's right about this. If all these games had been completed now, Mike, the portal opening up today – whether it was a second, third, or fourth, it wouldn't matter. Now you'd have coaches in place who have moved on, and they're ready to try to assemble their roster. Here's what else Lanning said in regards to the NFL on Saturdays.
I've got a ton of respect for the NFL, but we're a prep league for the NFL. We do a lot of favors for the NFL, right? We're the minor league in a lot of ways, but there's no money paid from the NFL to take care of college football, right? And in that sense, we've given up some of our days, right, to the NFL. We said, oh, this is, you guys get to have this day. You get to have this day. You get to have this day. Saturday should be sacred for college football, right? And every Saturday through the month of December should belong to to college football, in my opinion.
In a perfect world, yes. But it's not going to happen.
As I said, I was putting that argument out there last year, but it's just the NFL's got it. And as I said, if you go back and look, you can see even in the 70s, they were playing games on Saturdays in the middle of December. So, yes, in a perfect world, the NFL would say, you know what? Dan's right. You are providing us cheap labor and a way to scout our next generation because there is no minor league football, okay? That summer league or that spring garbage some of you guys watch, that is what it is. Two or three guys get pulled from that. Yeah, Dady, I know you watch that summer football. But, this stuff, he's exactly right, but it ain't going to change.
No, it's not. 404-726-0929. If you have a thought or two about the Dogs, how this game went down last night, the mistakes that were made, and whether or not you're questioning Kirby just a little bit. And, again, this is not whether or not he's the best coach in college football. This is more about for the game in itself, the game management stuff.
You really think I'm going to answer that question?
Well, listen, Kirby, people are questioning some of this stuff that went down last night.
Right.
And, you know, again, when you have a lead, you blow a lead, then you get back in the game, you tie the game, and, Mike, you've got these opportunities. It makes you wonder, all right, the decision-making and the process that you go through with that. Again, I don't – my opinion about Kirby's not changed one bit. But when you talk about this specific game and how you could have maybe won it, Mike, or the fact that you lost it,
right,
how you lost it, we're questioning those
things.
Well,
that's the thing. Kirby is at the point in his career where we're giving him all the love that he's Nick Saban. You know, he's Nick Saban 2.0. Nick Saban doesn't make those mistakes. I mean, I understand. Look, I love the aggressiveness of the punt because they've done that before, and their special teams is second to none, and they executed it. But to be on that side of the 50 that deep, just trust your defense and make some adjustments.
I agree.
I mean, that you cannot go for it. That made no sense. And as I said, the conservative nature because of what happened last year, again, I just feel Gunnar Stockton is so further down the road in his development, you can trust him in that moment. And Bobo, as we said, Branch is your best athlete on offense. You've got to get him more. As you said, maybe they were trying to establish some rhythm in the passing game. All those passing, I think, was at one point it was one run and seven throws in the first couple of series, and then they decided to start running the ball again. So I know Bobo always gets the heat, but I think it was deserved. I just did not like some of the game plan, especially when Ole Miss was now totally dialed in on those designed runs for Stockton. There were no windows. There's nowhere for him to go.
No, and I thought Ole put it perfectly today on our behind the scenes show, and he was talking about the offense felt disjointed.
Yes.
Last night. There was just no flow.
Nothing was easy.
No.
In the second half.
Specifically. But
right.
But give Golden credit. They made the adjustments. And this is why some people are saying today, you know what? Ole Miss, the coaching staff did a better job than Georgia did, specifically when you needed it in the second half.
And I'm literally texting with Randy Mack. I'm like, I was asking Randy from a professional standpoint, as a former pro player, I said, they really do bracket Branch, or they, even when there's pressure, they can't have any play design to get it to Branch quickly. Like, I know the wide receiver screens drive everybody crazy, but slants, quick hits, you know, he was in the slot, and then no sooner did I say that, they get the touchdown. He makes an unbelievable catch, by the way, falling backwards in the end zone.
Indiana, by the way, as we're talking college football playoffs from last night, we're going to talk to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation coming up a little bit later on. In less than 8 minutes from now, we'll talk to our buddy Bobby Hebert down in New Orleans to talk about the Saints coming in for this last game of the season. 35-point loss by Bama, worst since 1998.
Oof.
Okay? When you talk about...
Wow.
Yeah, when you start talking about the beatdowns. And here is the robot, and we say that with all, you know, due respect. Fernando Mendoza, to Mike's point, I said yesterday, it feels like he's rehearsed for all these moments. There are guys who just, you know, again, you didn't know 2 years ago who he was, but you put him in front of a camera and a microphone, and all of a sudden, he's smiling, and it's perfect, and his nuances, and he's saying just the right thing. And you're like, holy crap, who is this guy? That is Mendoza. This was him yesterday talking about playing in the Rose Bowl. Listen to this.
Well, first of all, my team and I want to give all the glory to God. What a historic venue, the Rose Bowl, one of the best venues in all of sports. It's just a great conglomerate of individuals coming together and really forming complementary football. Coach Zig has hit on us no complacency. And especially when you have a bye, it's tough to get in the rhythm of football. But once we got our feet on the ground, we knew that we're going to stick together and come out with this W.
Yes, it's Tim Tebow-like. It's very, as a matter of fact, it's almost like you could have taken that from a Tim Tebow soundbite from the mid-2000s.
You could have.
But that's cool. But like, hey, the one thing I think you see a lot of, and it's funny because some of the media elite, Carl, don't like this, is faith. Guys, faith plays a big part in the lives of these young men. And whether you like it or don't, or you don't like, I always see the people say, well, what if he was, Islamic, you wouldn't want him saying, well, whatever. It's a free country. You can express your faith. These guys do. And faith-based programs, whether it was Dabo or Bobby Bowden, has been part of football forever.
Yeah, I'll say this. And you know, for me...
It doesn't bother me. Real quick, it doesn't... I don't know. I'm used to it. I mean, I'm not very spiritual or religious, but it doesn't bother me. I've always blown away when people get all in their bag about it.
Yeah, I would say for most guys it played, specifically once you get into college, in some high schools, I think a lot of high schools do too, but Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Mike,
oh, yeah,
introduces a lot of young athletes to this, even if it's not in their life. And then whatever you do with it and how you grow with it is your business. But that is nothing new. And the FCA has been a huge part
right.
of football and youth football coming up. For those of you who have ever played, you probably know this. But if you don't, That's there. It's already there. And the reason is, you know, Mike says this about the post game. Well, hell, let's stop praying before the game. Let's stop getting guys around the middle of the field and start praying for, you know, health and making sure that everybody's going to be okay. All of these things circle around the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Mike.
Right.
So this is nothing new. I don't know why everybody gets all crazy about it, but you're right. That is something that this young man, Fernando Mendoza, immediately when he starts speaking, like, first I got to give glory to God. And everybody's like, oh,
yeah.
I don't understand it either.
And again, Tuesday's show, if you miss it, because I know it's a disjointed week. People don't even know what day it is right now. Am I working today? Am I off? Tomorrow is Saturday. We talked about it on Tuesday. Scott Van Pelt tried to basically, I know you want to give glory to God, but well, let the man give glory to God, okay? Another 10 seconds on ESPN is not going to kill somebody.
No.
And it was very disingenuous for a guy. I'm a big fan of SVP, and Bijan still did his thing afterwards and then gave praise to his team.
Yes, he did. By the way, this is my only time to revel, or at least, you know, at least talk about it a little bit, because they were not in the college football playoff. But did you see Arch Manning? This hype is going to be unbelievable next
year. Well, you said it. I know we learned that Michigan was an unmitigated disaster. I think you and I both bet on Texas
this week.
In the Citrus Bowl. And see, this is where Notre Dame, you know, you want to play like high and mighty, like you got screwed by the committee. Okay, maybe you could have made the run Miami's making. We'll never know. But you decide to basically thumb your nose at everybody. Texas uses this time like it always was. Extra 3 weeks of prep.
That's right.
Get some momentum for next season.
Yeah. Look, I think, you know, for Arch, he continued to get better throughout the course of the season. Look, when they played Georgia, he had a lot of drop balls. There were opportunities there.
Oh, yeah.
His receivers didn't come up for it. But for him as an individual, all the attention that he's getting, Mike, he couldn't have played any better at the end of the season. Ran for two, threw for two. He was a monster. This was the 60-yard rushing touchdown where if you didn't see the highlight, you're like, damn, he's fast. He ran away from everybody.
Christian Clark back on the field at running back. Offset to the left side of Arch Manning. And on first down, it's Manning, a design keeper straight up the middle. Manning, say goodnight to it. 60 yards to the house. Arch Manning, a dagger in the heart.
It was. And that game was close for a minute, right? It was like, oh, Michigan's hanging. They're showing you a little something here. And then that happened. Long story short, man, we'll see. They'll be expected, Mike, to make the college football playoff next year with him at the helm. There's going to be pressure on LSU with Lane there and seeing what he's able to do. Georgia's going to be Georgia, guys. Again, I'm not as worried as some people like, oh, young team. I think Kirby overachieved. But I'm not giving him an out because I still feel like they probably should have won last night.
Right.
But I think he overachieved with this team.
Well, it's funny because Connor Riley, who joins us to start the season, said, I think there's a ceiling with Georgia because of the defense and the turnover on the defense. All the guys, you know, we've got Jalen Walker, all the guys who went to the NFL. And that's where he felt that's what was going to sort of cap it. Well, at the end of the day, the defense couldn't get Trinidad Chambliss on the ground. There was no way. Yep. In addition to the scrambling plays where he just improvised, if you go back and watch, somebody did a montage of all his dropbacks, there's not many times he's getting pressure, you know, from the standard line. So that did kind of come back to bite him. But to Carl's point, it was a younger team. I think everybody out there, look, Ohio State, Texas was all in the same boat. Ryan Day taking over the play calling. I mean, that was god-awful. I mean, that looked ugly at times against Miami. And then, you know, Kirby just made one or two big mistakes, and Mike Bobo too. But at this level, what do you think is going to cost you the game? That's it. You're in the rarefied air of the, you know, six or eight best teams in college.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing. Like you said it, I thought it was two duds and two really good games considering the college football playoff. That Texas Tech game, defense is really good. What the hell happened to their offense, Mike?
Right.
I mean, like, honestly, like, it looked anemic. It looked elementary. Like, you're going, what are you guys trying to do? Defensively, Tech was really good all year, and they showed that. And when you hold a team to, like, 4-for-19 on third down and still lose, that's right. What they did. So that game was a complete dud, but only because the offense was non-existent. And then the Indiana blowout was a dud. I mean, that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That was, you know, and
And when Simpson leaves the game, you're like, this is a wrap. Like, you knew there was no way they were going to come back. But at any point, once Indiana started moving the ball, it just felt like they were going to do whatever they wanted to do. And by the way, you guys realize they did that yesterday without their best pass rusher on the field? Indiana. And they still sacked Simpson and still put him out the game. Like, that's right. How good that team is. And again, I'm not overstating this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.